This is Will's Band of the Week for November 10th, 2010. Hello and welcome to another edition of Will's Band of the Week. This is Will, along with Barrett.
Hey, everybody.
And Chris.
Hey there.
Hey, and I think we have our maximum high fidelity. I hope the listeners are impressed. We've got Barrett back in the studio, and we've got Chris on a new and improved Skype connection.
That's right.
So,
yeah, it does sound pretty good.
Sitting at home on top of my lady pyramid.
Oh, yeah? We need video of this.
Have you seen that commercial?
I don't know what that means.
Oh, it's like a shoe commercial for basketball shoes, and it's got one of the guys from the Asian guy from The Hangover,
right?
And he's on top of a pyramid of ladies, and he's like, "Freak you with my lady pyramid." So I don't know. I guess you gotta see it.
Yeah, I did see that movie, and as I was watching it, I was kind of like a little bit uncomfortable. Like, is this movie gonna just sort of cross the line where I'm just not comfortable? And then as it went on, I kind of warmed up to it. I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah, see, I think I might be the only person in America that didn't really like it all that much.
I thought it was okay
at the beginning, maybe a little bit, but there were like, you know, 10, 15, 20 minute periods where there's just nothing. There's no laughs.
I think maybe I liked it because I wasn't expecting much. I was sort of expecting to not like it, and then I didn't dislike it like I thought I would. Mm. So, yeah, that's movie psychology.
I'm probably the exact opposite. I think I expected a lot because I'd heard it was like, you know, the greatest thing ever.
Yeah.
Didn't turn out for me.
Yeah, I felt the same way. My expectations were high. And, everybody seems to love that movie. And then I went and saw Hot Tub Time Machine with people at work.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, "Oh my god! I thought this was supposed to be funny. It's like nowhere near as funny as The Hangover." And I'm like, "Actually, I didn't think The Hangover was that funny, and this was slightly better."
Hmm.
Even though Hot Tub Time Machine is not, you know, not a great movie at all. I'm not even saying to go rent it, but I did like it better than The Hangover.
I actually agree.
Yeah,
I liked it as well.
All right.
And I'm a pretty tough crowd.
Well, there you have the movie review segment. We kind of do it all. We can review music, movies, whatever else. Anybody have anything else you'd like us to review or comment on? I'm sure we would do it.
Right? What are you guys reading these days?
I'm reading the book, Friday Night Lights.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm only into it about, you know, first main chapter.
And you're also reading it on your phone, right?
Yeah. I'm reading it on my iPod Touch.
What?
Because of the novelty that I can do it. Because I can.
The whole thing?
Well, I don't know. We'll see if I get through the whole thing. This is what happened. I got it from the library, and I didn't have time to finish reading it, you know, before I had to return it. So I thought, all right, well, I've got this iPod Touch that you can get books on, so why don't I give it a try? I'll try reading a book. So that's what I've got. I'll let you know how it goes.
See, I ridiculed all the commercials, like the Verizon commercials where it shows, you know, a guy watching a basketball game on his phone. I'm like, who would ever sit there and watch a movie or a basketball game for two whole hours on his phone? But it appears you're going one step further, and you're reading like a 10-hour book on your phone.
Well, I don't, you know, I don't like to watch movies on a computer, for example. But lying in bed, falling asleep, with the vision I have, if I read a book, I have to hold the book like 6 inches from my face anyway, so I might as well have like this little screen 6 inches from my face. So we're still early. It's kind of in the experimental phase. I also have your book, Chris, that I haven't read yet, Fargo Rock City.
Chuck Klosterman.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now. I need to read that one of these days.
Well, I have read Friday Night Lights, and actually just yesterday I finished reading Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm. Haven't read it. I've heard of it.
Very good. I started actually on Netflix. They have where you can watch the movie on demand. So I started watching it, and 15 minutes in, I kind of quit on it just because it's so much like the book. Doesn't really. I'd rather just kind of know what I know about the book about it, not not actually have to see it.
Yeah, that's how I felt about Tango and Cash after reading that book. I went and saw the movie is...
There was just no way they were going to be able to live up to that, right. That level, yeah.
Right.
Understandable.
Yeah, after I read I'm Gonna Get You, Sucker,
yeah.
The movie, you know, not the quality.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, before we get to the music segment of the podcast, I'd like to tell the listeners that you can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes by pressing, or clicking, I should say, the subscribe button, and it'll do it all for you. You can also leave comments at the web page, which is willsband.net, or on the Facebook page, which is the Will's Band of the Week podcast. And you can also do the really old-fashioned thing, which people don't really do anymore, and that is send a good old-fashioned email to willsband@yahoo.com.
Thought of another way.
The telegram that
no,
we talked about?
You can just come and talk to us.
That's right. You could just come on over.
We know some of these people, and they live in Madison. They can just say, hey,
yeah,
nice podcast.
Yeah, except by the time they'd be listening, it would be a couple days ago that we recorded it. You know, and they'd come over to my house, and like, nobody would be home.
Well, it's not a perfect plan.
See, now I've been lobbied by people to come on the podcast.
Yeah, me too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we should have a guest appearance.
I know, I told Jason that he should come on, and he's up for it. And our friend Nick, who we all know, he wants to do it.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yep. And, they'd both be good.
Yeah.
We have to decide, like, who's, like, doing what less or more than 24 hours beforehand, though. Be more organized if we're going to do that, right?
Yep.
We'll figure out a way.
Well, my buddy up in Appleton, Johnny Roast Beef, he listens, and he's quite the music enthusiast. So
anybody with a name like that, we really should have on the podcast.
Oh, Roast Beef will do it upright. Yeah,
yeah.
He's quite the rock on tour too. He'll tell some good stories.
All right,
and he's got a Skype connection.
Who doesn't though?
Yeah,
anybody could have a Skype connection.
I thought that was a question, but that was one of those rhetorical questions, right?
Yes, one of those.
I was about to start answering that one.
Yeah, I think it was rhetorical.
Are you going to start naming people who don't?
Yeah, like my mom. You know, I think she might actually. Speaking of my mom and music.
I was actually just talking about your mom the other day, but go ahead.
She, one of my friends posted a video of the Hold Steady at like Mountain Stage or whatever. And I put a little note on there like, yeah, Hold Steady or something. And my mom ended up liking it. So I don't know if she watched it. And now my mom likes the Hold Steady.
Wow. So she's a rocker, basically.
Yeah. She does like Bruce Springsteen, so.
Well, then that would make sense,
yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I did? I bought my parents a webcam so that I could do video Skype with them.
Mm-hmm.
And they just don't really want to do it. So I haven't pushed the issue, but part of it is I've been lazy because I'm the one who would have to set it up, you know. But they were kind of like, I don't know if I want to be seen on a camera, you know. I think they're just more comfortable being on audio.
What, like the feds are watching it, like Dick Cheney sitting on the other line? Like,
well, you know, it's like you can talk on the phone just right after you got up in the morning, you know, and. Mm-hmm. Look like a slob, you know, but if you're on Skype, you're on TV, you know, this is serious stuff. So,
yes, yeah. My kids talk to my parents on Skype, and we just did it the other day, actually, but my mom hasn't figured out how to do it so where, like, her webcam has this feature where it automatically focuses in on things and, like, moves around the room, so we'll be talking to her, and it'll, like, zoom in on her eyeball, and so like our computer, it's like this giant eyeball.
Is that a mind of its own, or what? Well, what determines where it focuses?
I don't know. It kind of has a mind of its own. I'm like, can't you take it off like the autofocus or whatever it is? And she's like, I don't know. What do I do? Options? Or, I don't know.
Hmm.
But yeah, we're just sitting there talking. My kids are like looking at this giant eyeball. On the screen. It was Halloween too, so maybe that was it.
Hmm. Wow. Okay. Hey, is there any music to talk about? You guys got any music news? There's no news, apparently.
Yeah, I don't know of any news.
Yeah.
I read on Pitchfork that there is a coffee table book dedicated to Death Cab for Cutie. And I'm like, you got to be kidding me. Is there an audience for that?
The coffee table book. It's mostly photography, right?
Yeah.
Not a real big audience, I wouldn't think.
Wow. That'd be in the triple digits, I think. They'd have to have a pretty limited run with that one.
Yeah, sounds about right.
That's my news.
Well, good.
Anybody else got anything?
You know, I haven't seen a band for a while. We need to go see a band.
Anybody?
Chris went on tour, you know, that a couple weeks ago.
That's right.
And, you know, it just seems like nobody's coming to Madison lately. I'm sure we'll get somebody here at some point who's worthy, but...
Yeah, I went on a tour with the Doobies for like 3 weeks.
Yeah?
Yeah. That was my tour week.
It's funny that you bring up the Doobie Brothers. I was at the grocery store today, and this is absolutely true. I was at the Hy-Vee on the east side, right by work, and we were playing Taking It to the Streets, and I was like, this is just the worst song. This song makes me, it was making me mad. It's like, you know what, sometimes music is really in the hands of the wrong people.
Yeah,
it's a bad thing. And yeah, so I was just thinking about that today.
You know, when I think of music that's just bad, like that song, another example is about half the catalog of the Steve Miller Band. I mean, I just, and you know, hear it Wisconsin, you know, he's from the state, and so, you know, the UW band is always playing Steve Miller and Nels, and I'm just like, how you turn classic rock on, it's always Steve Miller, and it's like,
right,
what is the deal? And although I was watching a movie recently where there was some scene in the movie where there was a Steve Miller song playing, and it was somebody driving a car. Oh, what was that movie? It was did you guys see the movie Greenberg?
I did, actually, yes.
I actually didn't think it was that good, but there was a scene where the woman's driving down the street, a Steve Miller song is on, and it struck me because it didn't sound terrible. It was like, for some reason, in that context, I didn't hate it. So I thought, well, something's right about this, I guess.
Right. Yeah, I don't have that same... I mean, I don't own Steve Miller's greatest hits or anything, but I don't have that same visceral reaction against it that you have. To me, it reminds me of being in college. It's like a sunny spring day, and guys are out playing Frisbee, and somebody's playing that album. You know?
I was somewhere, and I heard a Huey Lewis in the News song. And it's like, you know, you've really arrived when you're like, one of your three worst songs is like, reaches number one in the country.
Oh, like, yeah.
Have you listened to I Want a New Drug?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's bad.
Good God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
But it was so terrible that Ray Parker plagiarized it and turned it into the Ghostbusters theme.
That was like... It was the same... That was like the Scopes Monkey Trial of the 80s.
And like, actually, you know what? We were watching, I think it was the director's commentary for Back to the Future. And because my son is a big fan.
I'm not kidding. Stop right there. You're watching Back to the Future.
Yeah.
And listening to the director's audio commentary.
Well, right. He's seen it. He's seen it probably 8 times or 9, 10. Anyway,
I thought you were going to say you were watching Ghostbusters with the audio.
Oh, wait.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I meant to say. Right. Ghostbusters. They're similar.
Okay.
Similar vintage. Anyway, they tried, the Ghostbusters director, who directed that? Whoever. Tried to get...
probably Harold Ramis would be my...
Probably name. Harold Ramis. I know he wrote it, co-wrote it with Dan Aykroyd. And they tried to get Huey Lewis to do the theme music. And when he wouldn't do it, they got Ray Parker. And Ray Parker ripped off his song.
Is that really true?
It is true.
They tried to get him... So was it a purposeful ripoff?
I don't know. I mean, what was that song? George Harrison with My Sweet Lord was... accused of plagiarism, and he said that he had subconsciously plagiarized it. It was like, what was that song?
I don't know.
Some song by the Crystals or something.
Yeah, I remember the story.
But I don't think this is like the bass line is just a total ripoff. It's like, it's as bad as the Ice Cube ripping off Ice Cube.
Vanilla Ice ripping
Vanilla
off
Ice,
David Bowie.
Right.
Yeah. Well, that was sampling, though, right?
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's as you know.
Yeah, as blatant.
Right. And, kids, I do know the difference between Ice Cube and Vanilla Ice, just so you don't have to, you know, to
post. I'm not sure if I know the difference, actually, but all right.
Prison time went along with that for Ray Parker Jr. I hope he did, like, 20 years.
Probably. I think he's still in there.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, he made a lot of money off that. He's got to do a lot of hard time.
There's some, like, serial murderer in there.
Did we, like, ever talk about...
Looks over at Ray Parker Jr. and he's like, what are you in here for?
And then he just hums it. Oh, yeah, I got you.
Made a song that sounds too much like I Want a New Drug. Well, I beheaded 13 people.
Did you guys... did we ever talk about the Coldplay and Joe Satriani thing?
No, I don't know what that is.
Nor do I.
Okay, well, you know who Joe Satriani is? He's one of those guitar instrumental kind of hokey to me sounding,
like a Steve Vai type of
guy. Right, exactly. And
Yngwie Malmsteen.
Right, exactly.
I was just going to say that.
he
didn't say Yngwie. He said Yngwie, which is impressive.
Yeah, it is. Nah. He
Wagner.
Joe Satriani sued Coldplay for ripping off his melody for the song "Viva La Vida," and what it was the a guitar solo in one of his songs sounded like, you know, the same melody as the vocal line on "Viva La Vida." Maybe I should try to find it here. Hold on, it's got to be here. Luckily, I have editing. Coldplay, Satriani comparison. There we go. Okay, it goes like this. Okay, here's the Coldplay part. I used to roll the dice, feel the fear. Okay, here's Satriani. Yeah, I think he got money for that.
That's just sour grapes, because not many people know this, but Joe Satriani was the original guitar player, and he was sacked before their first album came out, and he's still pissed about that. I mean, come on, has Chris Martin ever heard that song before?
You sure wouldn't think so, would you? Yeah. Like, why would he?
Right.
Yep. Yeah, I'm thinking if I was a judge, I would say... cash award to nobody on that.
Right.
Yeah, and a lot of these musical copyright infringement, it's like the thing that's allegedly being copied is so common that you could just easily, I mean, a Chuck Berry riff or something, come on, you know.
Right.
Well, there's so many songs that we hear, since we listen to so much music, where I immediately think that it sounds like another song, but and I'm amazed at how few lawsuits like that are actually filed.
Yeah.
That could actually be that could be a show in and of itself. Like, people love these judge shows. It could just be a show where you determine whether someone should pay someone for stealing their song.
That's a good idea.
Yeah. Do you guys, you're too old for this, Chris. I'm sure you never saw Name That Tune. Did you ever see that, Barrett?
You meant he's too young.
Oh, yeah, too young, I meant, yeah.
I'm aware of the concept.
But
let's explain.
It was like the hokiest game show.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was probably a teenager, and so they'd give a little clue, and then they would like just play the simplest melody on a piano or something, right? So contestant number one would say, after the clue, would say, I can name that tune in seven notes. Didn't it start with seven notes? And then they'd have to, you know, and then the other person would say, I could do it in six, and the next person say, I could do it in five.
I don't know if it started off at any certain number, but yeah, they would keep trying to.
And they'd try to
go down,
narrow it down. But then the funniest thing was when they would say, I can name that tune in one note. And then the piano player would just go, dun. And then he'd name it because he knew it from the clue.
Yeah.
Oh, I forgot there were clues. Yeah, that certainly helps.
It's like that woman on Wheel of Fortune that just won. Did you see this? Where they gave her one letter and she guessed like a six-word phrase.
Oh. Wow.
That's great. That's good.
They think that maybe she cheated or something, or she had the answer ahead of time. It's impossible.
You'd have to be pretty lucky.
I don't watch that show very often, but wouldn't you be smarter to maybe spin the wheel a couple of times and try to make some more money on it?
Yeah, you'd think so.
Or do you get bonuses for having not many exposed letters? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know what the payoff for guessing it right away would be. But then, you know, you could, like, bankrupt yourself or whatever.
You guys remember when Pat Sajak retired for a while and Rolf Benerska, the old kicker for the...
San Diego Chargers.
Yeah, he was the host.
Okay, now you're making that up. Is it really true?
No, he was the host.
He really was?
And then he died.
What?
Oh, man.
I didn't know he died.
I don't know that for sure, but I think he did.
If only there were some way to look this up.
Well, first of all, you'd have to know how to spell Bernerska. So I don't know. You could look up like the greatest game ever played and Kellen
Wikipedia,
Winslow.
And then
I'm sure he'd get a mention.
Do I remember right then that after he died, then Jan Stenerud was...
No, it was actually Nick Mickemeyer.
Donald Igwebuike.
Who is the Eagles' bearded and barefooted kicker from the early 80s? Tony Franklin. Is that right? I don't know. Old kickers. But that is absolutely true about Rolf Benerska. And I think he died.
Wow. And then they had to bring back Pat Sajak. I haven't watched Wheel of Fortune for like 20 years, I think, so.
Well, I think the Chargers traded for Pat Sajak because they thought he had a pretty good leg. But they cut him in the during the OTAs before they even went to training camp. He just
Pat Sajak got his own CBS late night talk show, like after, I don't know if Letterman was on CBS yet at the time.
Yeah, they'll try anybody on that, I guess.
There was a period where everybody was getting talk shows. Yeah. How did you ever watch that one, Chris?
Pat Sajak's show?
Yeah.
I may have caught it once or twice. I don't know.
Do you own the DVD collection?
Episodes 1 to 28. Oh, man. I think this is a music podcast, you guys. So get focused, okay? We have a couple, and arbitrarily, I have decided in my mind that we should start with the more prominent of our two artists this evening. So there is a new album, relatively new, by Sufjan Stevens. So how about it? Let's talk about it.
Yeah, it's called The Age of Ads.
Which I think he pronounces odds.
He does. Yeah, and I was actually going to
look. Weird. Yeah.
Yeah, he pronounces that way in the song.
It's A-D-Z.
Yeah.
What's the story on that, Chris? You know that?
I have no idea.
Yeah, the
Maybe
age of
like
odds.
It's like an affectation. The age of odds.
Honestly, I'm actually looking up Rolf Benerska. <right
now>. He's not ready to talk about Sufjan Stevens yet.
Yeah, you will be pleased to know that Rolf Benerska is actually still with us.
I'm sorry, Rolf.
He is not an ex-kicker. He has not ceased to be.
Wow.
Barrett, I can't believe the allegation that he's not alive, and that's
great.
Serious.
You know what
now
I think?
Rolf Benerska is going to be all over our ass because we put him in the grave already.
Scroll way down to the bottom of that page on Wiki, and I think he had a terminal illness that he might have.
Living with ulcerative colitis is what he has.
See?
So that's why he had to quit the game show, huh?
Right.
I thought he died. But
anyway, Sufjan Stevens.
Yes. Yes. Okay.
Proceed.
So, Chris was the the resident super fan. I think having his Illinois album on your top 10 of the decade. So, what do you think about this new one?
Well, as you recall, you and I went to go see him as he was testing out a lot of this material.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. He played a couple of very limited shows.
Right.
Just, I guess, to see if he could play it live or how it sounded or how the crowd would react.
Mm-hmm.
And we went to that, and I really liked it kind of as a live experience.
Were they the same songs, though? I think I don't know if they really were.
Some of these songs I recognize from the show.
Okay.
And it may only be three or four.
Mm-hmm.
But I do remember a couple of the hooks, the few that are actually present on this album.
Mm-hmm.
But a couple of them seemed familiar. And when I first listened to it, I was just like, you know, just kind of thought it was, you know, musical onanism. It was just, you know, a guy with a, you know, a keyboard and a drum machine and just wanted trying to see what he could do.
Mm-hmm.
But as I listened to it, it kind of grew on me a little bit. I mean, I do as a kind of a front to back type of thing. It's, I mean, it's never going to be Illinois for me, which is obviously one of my favorites. And I like Michigan as well. But, I don't know. I mean, I'm not crazy about it, but, it's pops into the rotation every now and then.
It's got 11 tracks, and track 11 is 25 minutes and 35 seconds.
Yeah.
Now that's,
I mean,
that's
like Nico Case, where she threw on like that 30-minute song of like birds chirping.
Yeah, that was just, but that was like, you know, put a microphone out in the wilderness and throw that on the album just for the hell of it. But this is an actual song, right? This is,
yeah.
It has all these changes, and it has the auto-tune thing in the middle, and then it goes into this sort of rappy type thing. And I probably haven't given that one enough of a chance. Because as I've gone through the whole 25 minutes a few times, and it'll always catch me a couple times in the middle of it, but I haven't really been able to grasp the whole thing.
Yeah, that's the same with me on that one. It's like, I could have told you that somewhere in this album there's an annoying, you know, auto-tune interlude.
Yeah.
In the middle of a long song, and yeah. You know, that's kind of emblematic, I think, of this whole album. It's a lot less organic sounding.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so there aren't any, you know, the banjos and things like that that kind of marked some of his other stuff, but it still has those little flute trills all over the place.
Right.
Very Sufjan Stevensy.
Right.
So did you like those songs, Chris, with some of that in there more than the other ones? Or
yeah, and the one that I actually picked to play, I think, is a good kind of a crossbreed between his album. Trying to think of the name of it. He had an album a few years ago that was just all electronics. Know Your Rabbit, I think, is what it was called. And then Illinois, which is, you know, more of the organic flute type stuff. But I think the song Get Real, Get Right is actually kind of a good example of how he's kind of melded the two.
Okay, let's play some of that one.
Yeah, that was a good way to describe that, Chris, as a cross between the old and the new. I mean, it's got both of those things in it.
Yeah, sort of the balance.
Yeah.
Yep.
I should also mention that the illness that Rolf Benerska had was actually an inflammatory bowel disease.
Wow. I've got one of those. Yeah. It's not cool.
Yeah.
So at points, like when you think your ass is killing you, like for him, it was literally true.
It was really happening. Yeah. Yeah. And Wheel of Fortune was a little too much.
Nicely played.
Yeah.
All right.
My ass is killing me. Like, I'm serious. Don't laugh.
Well, I'm kind of torn when I listen to this album because I sort of like the ambition of the crazy electronic stuff. And I kind of like the ambition of the whole thing. It seems like an accomplished project. But then at times, like I was telling Barrett the other day, I'm just not sure that I'm that excited to go back and listen to it. So it has its moments. So, you know, I'll give it a mild thumbs up, I think. And I like the organic-y stuff a little bit better. So my pick is track 8 called Vesuvius.
So have you guys spent time with the lyrics and stuff and tried to figure out what any of this is about?
Not in any detail. There are a couple where he, you know, blurts out stuff where you can kind of figure out what he's saying, but yeah. I haven't really thought it through real carefully.
Later in the song, isn't the chorus, doesn't it change from Vesuvius to Sufyan?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
What does that mean?
That he's hearing voices or something.
Okay.
Oh, wait a minute. I turned Chris down because his microphone was clicking. Okay, here you go. Now you have the floor, Chris.
Now, you know I'm not a big lyrics guy. It was actually last week I watched a documentary about Radiohead's OK Computer.
Mm-hmm. Well, that sounds cool.
And it inspired me to actually go back and look at all the lyrics to try to figure out what it actually means.
What's
and
your report?
I think it's warning us of the dangers of Facebook.
Wow.
Right.
Even though it hadn't, you know, the internet had barely even been invented. I think they saw what was going to happen with Facebook and were warning us of that on OK Computer.
Wow. Yeah. Are you sure you're not applying things that you know now, like overlaying that on the lyrics and kind of like people do with Nostradamus?
Right.
Like the way he predicted that Wade Phillips is going to be fired. And
exactly. I think that's true.
Yes. He predicted Hitler, and he predicted that that Wade Phillips was going to get fired.
What does he have to say about Brad Childress?
I don't know.
I'm going to study that and find something that says that that asshole is going to get fired.
You got to read the scrolls.
I can't believe that the Vikings came back and won that game on Sunday. That was just terrible. I mean, I'm so sick of Brett Favre now, I just want to see him get decked, you know. And that was just bad. Hopefully, it was only a temporary thing. They'll have to.
I turned that off too, and they went for it on fourth and whatever, fourth and goal.
And they missed it.
It was like 4 minutes to go, and I'm like, okay. Or maybe there was a little bit more.
I think
than
it was
that.
Six something.
Six?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Bad.
I was actually driving up to Lambeau, and when I found out that the Vikings had come back and won, I almost had to pull off the road.
Yeah, it's just bad.
I was just with rage.
Yeah. There's probably a collective rage on the highway heading up to Green Bay. the pavement was probably warmed up by like 3 degrees after that. So Barrett,
here's what I was thinking about this album as I was listening to it a couple times through, and this may not be the appropriate venue for this, but I was thinking of like the role of drugs in the music listening process, and like as a non-drug user, like how different the whole experience would be to be like high and listening to this or something. Because if I was, it would probably take on a completely different meaning from what it has for me now.
I can vouch for that. It's the same. It's not that great. No, we're all non-drug users. But you're right. I mean...
Well, like those flutes going all over the place? Yeah. Right. I mean, who knows? Yeah.
Like if you were blazed up and listening to this, like it might all completely make sense.
Blazed up.
I don't know.
Chris
is that what the
not...
kids say these days?
No, I think Chris is he's showing a little bit of maybe a little more familiarity with that thing kind of stuff than maybe Will and I have. I don't know.
Well, back if you hear the sound next to me, I'm just firing up the Aqua Buddha. Praying to the Aqua Buddha.
That's right.
Sometime around maybe 1990, I hosted a party. And back in those days when I used to, you guys probably had the same deal when you'd host a party. You'd have like all the party tapes, and you'd be like the music guy, right? And you'd be like kind of controlling the music at the party. And you know, I invited a whole bunch of friends, and one of my friends brought another friend. So this is a guy I hadn't met before, and some music that I had on was kind of a shoegazy thing. And he said, "Oh yeah, I love this. This is great. Only if you're on acid, though." That's what he said.
Wow.
Oh, yeah, it's with that caveat.
Oh, yeah. I mean, okay.
Yeah.
But there's so much music that we listen to that when I listen to, I honestly don't get. But it could be entirely because, you know, the people that review it or the people that love it, you know, might be into drugs.
Yeah.
So I feel like I'm missing like a third of the music experience.
Right.
That a lot of these people might be having, like Animal Collective.
Like, yeah,
I think that would be an outstanding album from last year if you were totally high and listening to it.
Right.
Like the whole experience would be completely different.
That's a good example band. You know,
what
I think.
If you put on the Animal Collective and then you had on like Teletubbies without the sound?
Or Yo Gabba Gabba.
Yeah.
Have you seen that?
Yeah. Same. Yeah. Yeah. Or like, you know, HR Puff and stuff would be one of the old examples.
What about the Flaming Lips album that had like four CDs that you were supposed to put into like four boomboxes at the same time?
Like Zarika? Is that what it's called?
That's what it was called, yeah. Yeah.
That'd
be bizarre.
Who that's high would have enough coordination
That's a good point. Yeah.
Who would be incentivized enough to get up and like... maybe it all makes sense.
But if you were really, really high, however you synced it, and it wouldn't be right.
It wouldn't matter,
like,
maybe.
Whoa, wow.
That's or maybe
awesome. How did Wayne Coyne dream up this dissonance here? It's like the off kilter. You know, find some weird way to enjoy it.
This might be enough to actually get me like a medical marijuana license. Like just not understanding enough music.
Right.
Should be enough of an ailment.
right
to get you a license, I think.
Mm-hmm. Tell your doctor you're having an issue with that. You're not understanding your music.
Other than my inflammatory bowels, of course.
Yeah. Okay, now we haven't asked Barrett yet if he has a pick from this album, so I'm going to. Do you have a pick, Barrett?
I'm going to pick number 5, Now That I'm Older.
Kind of the orchestral Sufjan Stevens.
Yeah.
Hmm.
To me, I mean, a lot of Sufjan Stevens songs, like the choruses and stuff, are not like super melodic. You know what I mean? Like they have a little bit of, I don't know. I mean, they're not, to me, they don't always strike me as super tuneful. And, you know, I'll cite the song that that Will picked, Too Much. You know, that Too Much Riding, it's not, to me, it just doesn't hit all the things that, in me that, like, you know, a really simple, you know, beautiful melody. You guys kind of agree with that? I mean, a lot of his songs are sort of like that.
I think on this album more than, like, on Illinois. Illinois had more accessible melodies, I think.
But this one, I mean, it's, you know, I mean, it's pretty sleepy, but I don't know. I think just the melody and whatever, like, you know, if I was some music scholar, I could maybe say, oh, it's in the whatever mode or something. But I don't know. It's just I like this one better than most of his songs. And I actually suggested that we do this one. You guys were both kind of, well, maybe not Chris as much, but I know Will was lukewarm on the album in general. And I've been lukewarm on him just in general myself, all of his stuff. And I said, I'm gonna spend more time with this and I'm gonna try to like it. And I was more or less successful. I like it. I like the album. And but it's a song like this that initially got me, you know, liking it a little bit more.
Really?
Yeah.
So of all the songs, that's the one you're like, oh,
to you this one's a throwaway. But to me, you know, I don't know. Hmm. I like it.
Well, we all picked middle tracks, which is interesting. So that's actually a good sign for an album, I think, if the middle of the album is strong, right? So, Chris, any closing comments, or would you like to play a bonus track?
Yeah, let's move on.
All right.
We can cut this up, but what is the one where he sounds exactly like Tom York? You know, Sean, I'm talking about?
No.
It's weird. It's like, I don't know, it would take a long time to find it, but I was listening to it when I was running, and I'm like, I didn't feel like pulling it out and checking it, so.
Okay, the listeners will have to find that one themselves.
Moving on.
Yeah, we're going to move on to a band that probably the listeners haven't heard of. I always like telling the listeners about bands they've never heard of. I'm going to presume that. This is a band called Cinema Red and Blue, and they're made up of some members of other bands, most notably a band called Comet Gain. Have you guys ever heard of Comet Gain?
Nope.
I got a couple of their albums. I like them quite a bit. And their singer is a guy named David Feck, and they're a British band, and he's the singer on the Cinema Red and Blue project. And there are a couple of other members of other bands. There's a band from New York called Crystal Stilts. They've got at least one person, I think, in Cinema Red and Blue.
And the Ladybug Transistor.
Oh,
like that's another New York band that yeah. I like them quite a bit. And actually somebody from The Clean, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's interesting, because it sounds a little bit like The Clean.
And Joe Satriani, too.
Anybody from Coldplay?
Is Ralph Benerska in the band as well?
Hey, all right.
It's a confluence of styles.
Yeah. Somebody could have weaved 38 Special into there. Then, yeah. Then we'd have had a big...
Okay, so you guys can surprise me with your thoughts, but let's just start out by playing something. This is one I like a lot, called Ballad of a Bus Stop.
This is the ballad of a bus stop, still haunted by the ghost of the breakup. Chips wet under the rain. She says she can't see him again. Sits on the arms of the bus stop. This is the ballad of a bus stop. Still waiting for the hope of a makeup. People waiting just for something to turn. Buses, you cry in the evening. Fingers cold in the winter. You turn on your Walkman. You're not with her. You're alone at the bus stop. I waited.
That's Cinema Red and Blue.
Of course you would pick the one song that I had picked out.
All right, good. You have good taste then.
You're lucky I have a backup.
What does that sound like to you guys?
I was trying to figure that out, and there's some genre there, right? There's a little bit of that. Well, you know, The Clean is probably, you know, Australian bands from the 80s.
Right,
you know?
Like, yeah. It's got kind of a postcard sound.
The Church, you know? It's right. Got that 12-stringy, yeah, jangly
sure.
thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sounds kind of like a slowed down Libertine song, too.
You know what? As I listened to it, I thought, because I knew you liked Libertines, I thought you might make that comparison.
Oh, wow.
I should have.
That's wild that you thought that.
And the little bit of.
I thought that was kind of left fieldy of me to think that, but.
There's a little go-betweens in there, too, I think.
Sure.
Yeah. All right, Chris. Well, since you have a backup, what is it?
Well, that song is the middle song of the ballad trilogy that they start off the album with. There's three songs. There's Ballad of a Vision Pure, Ballad of a Bus Stop, and Ballad of an All-Night Worker.
Right.
And my backup is the first of those, which is Ballad of a Vision Pure. That would be the second song on the album.
Is this the one that's going to have to give it the explicit tag?
Not exactly sure.
Yeah, we'll find out.
I already said something bad about Brad Childress.
That's true. That'll be enough right there.
That doesn't count as a profanity. That's just merely an observation.
All right, here
can
we go.
Can you splice the word bald in before the A word? try it. Anyway, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Trust fucking killing babies if I catch your attention now. To overage to shoot the lights out. There's no one else to do it now. I found things I wrote when I was young. Pilled up, angry, sad and dumb. What a terrible waste of a moment. What a terrible waste of a good guitar. What a shameful waste of electricity. I was only trying to make a point. Use your brain, don't disappoint. I was only trying to make a scene. I was only trying to do it clean. Day 63 and desperate dreaming, looking for a vision pure. We got it all wrong. I wrote some cheap songs. Don't wanna sing, I do a tune. Phil's in the attic, banging on the box on his rack. We're trying hard to sound like the Swell Max. What a terrible name for a pop group. What a terrible waste of a boy's life. What a pointless barrier for all those ideals. Something good. I was only trying to waste my youth. I was only trying to make sweet noise. I was only trying to be a
That's Cinema Red and Blue, and the song is called Ballad of a Vision Pure. And I have to think that the Do It Clean reference is an Echo and the Bunnymen reference.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was looking at you to see if you'd look over here and
wink or something.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
We have a lot of ways of signaling.
Yes.
Hand up or fist pump.
Right. Did you get a chance to listen to this at all, Barrett?
I did. I listened to it long enough, a couple times through, you know, I didn't pick out the Libertines thing until I was listening to it and over the headphones, because I was kind of listening to it at work and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, you can cut this part out, but I don't really have a track. I don't have anything picked, so.
Well, you can give me the next pick then, because I've got another one.
All right.
I think that after the ballad trifecta that Chris mentioned, they have three songs in a row that have Ballad of Something as the title, and then they follow it with a really good ballad that's not called Ballad, but it's a cool song. It's called Charlie Clark.
That's a good one. It gave me an idea for a theme podcast. It would be songs with first and last names.
As the title?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know? That's kind of a fun thing. Yeah.
Now I'll be thinking about that the rest of the night.
Yeah. I can think of like...
like when we're driving home.
Art Brute, Emily Kane, and lots of jam ones. David Watts and...
Wow, that's pretty good. You can pop that into your head that quickly.
Yola Tango has a song called Tom Courtenay. It's a good song.
Wow.
We got to do this.
No, remember, what was the night you said try to think of band names that are just states?
Or
the whole you're like texting like, me as we're driving
Boston
home from the
Boston
podcast.
And Kansas and stuff. And then they're like, I think we got them all. And then I texted you, Alabama.
Yeah, he's driving behind me, and he sends me a text. Alabama.
Right, that's kind of scary.
And I just ran off the road. I was so excited.
Instead of texting back, put your damn phone down, you texted back, yes, or something like that, which is shorter, so that's safer, I guess.
You'll never believe what riff was coming from the basement the other day that my son, it's like, where did he come up with that? He was playing Carry On Wayward Son by Kansas.
Wow.
He was learning that riff. You know, it goes, dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. He was playing that.
Wow.
That's one of the all-time riffs.
Yeah, is that on Guitar Hero or something? I don't know where he heard it.
Must be. You know what's great to play and fun to play on guitar? Is Dust in the Wind.
Yeah, that's...
It's easier than you think, and it's super simple.
Yeah.
Like, do, do.
You get bang for the buck out of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sounds
it's recognizable,
sounds
but it's
hard,
not
but,
hard. Yeah. Right. That's the greatest thing for a rock and roll song, that it, you know, that it be recognizable and not hard. That's not as easy to do as you'd think, you know, to come up with a song that does that.
Yeah.
Well, okay. I think that since we're now at roughly the hour mark, that... we should think about winding this one down. So,
people have had enough.
Yeah, go out and buy Sufjan Stevens and Cinema Red and Blue if you feel like it. And tell them Will's Band of the Week sent ya.
Get some kind of discount?
Sure. Yeah.
Call Sufjan Stevens at home and tell him.
Right.
Right.
That we recommended
it. Yeah, never would have occurred to you if you had not heard the podcast. All right. Well, thanks, guys. We'll come up with some more music. I've been telling you guys I have music in reserve. So I'm thinking we're probably about maybe 5 or 6 weeks away only.
Oh yeah.
From the top 10 of 2010.
I've already been making mental lists.
Let's see. It's been like 2 months since I've like updated my stream of consciousness on the top 10. So I'm going to have to go start narrowing it a little bit. It's always fun.
It's tough. Did Fleetwood Mac have any albums this year? I want to save a spot for him if they got one coming out. No?
I don't know.
He's shaking his head.
A Christine McVie solo album, maybe?
Yeah.
Maybe
you
gotta
pick like Tusk as your song of the year.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right. It's been fun.
Yep. I would also like to remind people to go out and pick up a copy of the Isthmus this week because I will be in it.
Okay.
Really?
I will have a column, yes.
A column?
All right.
Like some so a different thing than before?
It's probably about like Sufjan Stevens, I would imagine.
No, it's more politics. BS.
Yeah.
I've been, that's why I've been, like, for the last 3 weeks, hunkered down writing about politics. I feel like the Unabomber.
Yeah. Like, you're in a, like, a dark room kind of.
Right.
Yeah.
So now, after the elections are over, I can emerge from my chrysalis as a butterfly or something. I don't know.
Come back to the world of music, Chris.
Yes.
All right. Okay.
All right.
All right. That's it.
All right. See you, Honky.
Okay. Good night. Hey, Barrett, say good night.
I don't want to.
Okay.
Good night.